This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Twenty-two minutes after the hour, joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline is the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. And Mark, in the new year, I'm pulling the curtain here a little open here because I love talking to you about the business of college sports. It's one of my more fascinating segments, I think. So we're gonna decorate this up with some bells and whistles in the new year. What do you think about that?
Oh, I like it, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, you of course. In the Big 12, following this Buffs team, you've got a lot of insight there where we can talk Colorado Buffaloes, but also every day, Mark, there's something going on. Something new changes, whether we're talking football or just NCAA in general. Some of it's okay, most of it's a train wreck. And I think it's fun to go back and forth with you on that.
Well, I appreciate that. I was just right off the top of you had that you had the cause.
The cause, yeah.
And I didn't realize that he was now in the same vein as Michael and Prince and Cher. I didn't realize he just went by one name at this point in time. I'm kind of impressed. I'm not sure I'm ever going to reach that level, but I would never step out. Just assume, hey, you're talking to the mark. So
we could. I mean, that could be part of it. You know, we could do something like that.
Fantastic. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's every single day. There's something new. There's something ridiculous. There's something that is mind-numbing. There's something that's intriguing in college sports right now. But it really is a fascinating time to be alive and be involved in this business.
It really is. And, of course, I want to talk to you about the Buffs on Saturday, the loss to Stanford. Now coming up, they take on the UNC Bears coming up on Sunday. I believe that'll be the Buffs' last non-conference game,
exactly.
Right, Mark? Okay.
Yeah, that's the last one. What is it, 1 o'clock, I think, on Sunday. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to that one. And listen, they're playing some good basketball,
yeah.
Really. You've got that connection with Tad and his hometown and being the former coach there, and so I think it's a very intriguing game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I was, you know, certainly hoping CU would take care of Stanford. Mark, I did not catch this game, but from the recap and everything that I read, I mean, the rebounding was certainly an issue in that second half.
Well, the Buffs didn't play very well, and here's the thing about it. And, you know, Tad, the one thing we love about Tad is he doesn't have any unspoken thoughts. I mean, he'll tell you exactly what he's thinking. And Tad has been saying all along with this team, yes, we're a pretty darn talented offensive team, but you can't. Well, listen, the Rams just found out about this very same concept just the other day at Utah State.
Yeah.
Right?
Yikes.
Okay, you're going to live by the three, you're going to die by the three. For Colorado, they've been relying upon their offense, and he's been saying you have to be tougher. You have to play better defensively. You have to, be a team that's going to grind a little bit. You got to be better under the glass. And, you know, if they would have been, that would have helped them at CSU. But I think a young basketball team now looks and goes, you know what, CSU had a historic day shooting the ball against Colorado. And so we can kind of excuse that one. Well, then they went in and played another quality team with Stanford over the weekend, and they realized, oh, maybe Coach Boyle has got something here. Maybe we need to learn to play tougher on the defensive end, be more attentive on the defensive end, and it ended up costing them.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. But still, I mean, summarizing most of this, again, one more non-con game coming up for this Buffs team. But, Mark, you told us this last year. It was kind of a rough go last season for Tad Boyle and these Colorado Buffaloes. And here they sit, 10-2, about to wrap this up. We'll see what happens Sunday. But I'm guessing they're going to be heavy favorites in this game Sunday. But, you know, a lot of young talent on this team. But what a turnaround for Tad Boyle.
There's no question, and you feel good about things to a degree, but, you know, from Tad's perspective or my perspective with being what I do for a living, you know, my job's not to – Tad certainly is not supposed to do this. My job is not to, talk about all the sunshine all the time. Guess what? We just found out there's a lot of times that clouds and wind can show up and 35 trees can go down to your property.
Yikes,
like the last few days,
yeah.
Right? And so what they need to guard against is, listen, when they played quality teams, Colorado State, Stanford, we'll see another quality team coming up on Sunday with UNC. And then guess what? You're going to jump into the real deep end of the pool with Big 12 conference play coming up here. And, you know, being kind of cute on the offensive end is not going to cut it when you're playing teams like that. And they found that out now twice. They better figure it out for Sunday, and they certainly better figure it out by the time they're playing Houston and Iowa State and Arizona and Kansas and those kind of teams.
Well, Mark, the guy to watch out for UNC is my guy, friend of mine. We do the Brock Wisney show, so just watch out for him. The reason I bring him up is because he's a dude of faith. He is like the nicest guy I've ever met, an amazing human being. So treat him carefully on the broadcast there, Mark. Don't get too critical of him.
You know what I think is fantastic is that you have a Brock Wisney show, and then you went out and find a guy named Brock Wisney to be on the Brock Wisney show.
Isn't that fun? Like, we'd already planned it, and then we said, okay, now the hard part, how do we find a Brock Wisney? And there he was. I mean, I don't make this up. This is just how it happens.
Lo and behold, he was right there in your backyard playing for the Bears.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Every year we just throw out a name, and we say, now we got to fill that name. We got to fill the show.
Well, you do know, I mean, you know, we joke about that. For about the last 12 years, I've had Buff's prime time, and then we went and hired a Coach Prime. So it kind of worked out on our end, too. So that does happen.
That was 100% why they made that hire. Nothing else, Mark. It was just to fulfill that name. You needed to actually make it make sense.
Well, I called Rick George and I said, you know, if you hired Prime, I wouldn't have to change the name of the show. So it would be kind of cool if you did. So
It's amazing.
That's the way it worked out.
I'm
looking, you know, we laugh about it. We have some fun with it. But I'm looking forward to that game on Sunday because I want to see if Colorado, this young team, which is very capable of being a very good basketball team, can learn some of these lessons and become as enthusiastic about playing in the defensive end of rebounding as they have been about offense. Because if they do, this team could be very fun to watch all season long.
Mark, on the football side, I don't know how closely you watched some of the playoff games over the weekend, but so much of the talk around Tulane and James Madison, and so many people saying they don't belong there, the G5 stuff. Well, they don't really deliver. I mean, James Madison, I still think it's an amazing story. They go from FCS to, hey, they're in the college football playoffs. This is a tough argument because, Mark, I got to tell you, to be honest, I'm probably somewhere in the middle. I do enjoy the seat at the table. However many seats, I don't know if I care. I just like to know that there's a chance. But then again, the logical part of my brain's like, it should be the top 12 teams in the country playing for the playoffs. Most sports do it that way. Why don't we do it this way? So I'll be honest, I am stuck somewhere in between.
Well, here's the thing that people need to understand. Football is not basketball, and our perception has been turned a little bit because Butler or James Madison or, you know, whoever, pick up some of these other smaller schools that have made a run to the Final Four here in the last 15, 20 years in college basketball. It's not the same game. And there's a reason why I say that, because in basketball, if you get a senior-heavy team, you get one or two real high-level guys, it can change the course of what that team is and also alter who they can beat on a regular basis. Now are they going to, you know, if a team like Butler, you know, when they went to two consecutive Final Fours, if you put them up against, you know, the best Duke teams of all time, maybe if they play 100 times, they might win 10 or 15. Okay, but it's going to happen. The chance of that happening in football is far less. Is it possible? Sure, I guess it would be possible if a high-level team came out and just totally laid an egg and turned the ball over six times and, you know, those kind of things. But it's very, very unlikely you're ever going to see anything like that, which is why it's harder for the argument to put the lower-level teams in the tournament. Now, should they have a seat at the table? Sure, okay. I guess I'm okay with that. But should they have had two seats at the table this year? Absolutely not. Absolutely not should they have had two seats at the table. It didn't make any sense to me at all when you saw two teams from the G5 in there. I thought, what in the world are we doing here? And it just goes to show the leadership in college athletics right now. They're not making decisions for the right reasons. They're making decisions for the expedient reasons or the political reasons or certainly the financial reasons. That we well know. And so you've got to be very, very careful about that. If this thing expands ultimately and it's out to 16 teams, can you leave a seat open for a team? But it has to be very objective, Brady, okay? Sit down with people much smarter than I am. You figure out the metrics and all this thing that we talk about all the time, and you can sit down and say, okay, we've got one team in here that looks like they really have an opportunity. They seem to fare well with all the metrics out there, and let's let them in, right? But you can't be just for willy-nilly reasons just be going, okay, this year we're going to have, you know, a couple of, you know, JMU and Tulane are going to be in there. Well, why? And Notre Dame stayed home and BYU stayed. I mean, I just don't understand these kind of things. I mean, they're done for political reasons, not for real reasons. And that's where we seem to stub our toe all the time.
Well, and now you're hearing, too, Ross Dellinger with Yahoo Sports. I know he's, like, all over the business side of this. And it just seems like, from his standpoint, like, there's a new story every day. There's a new amendment to this. And we're already hearing that. You know, part of this going forward is going to be, all right, if we're staying with 12, if Notre Dame's in the top 12, they're getting in, even if there's an 11 above, you know, they'd replace them. The Power Fours would essentially get their champions guaranteed in. And that's where a lot of people thought that was going to be what it was anyway, until they went back and read it. It's like, oh, it's not just the Power Four and a G5. It's the top five highest ranked. I was always confused by that anyway. I just don't think they expected it to go down this way. And I'm good with that. If you want to say guaranteed the top Power Four gets their conference champs in, I can tend to go along with that, because the odds are we're not going to have this kind of situation very often. But it is fascinating. We're already kind of, we're not even through these playoffs yet, and we're already making some pretty significant edits.
Well, and the other thing is, how long do we have to go with reality slapping us in the face before we stop pretending that somehow the SEC is a far superior conference? Can we stop with that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Everyone laughed at the ACC, but yet the third-place team of the ACC went out and beat a team that was a couple of plays away from playing for the SEC championship, right? Can we stop with this ridiculous notion? And the reason it's happening is because the SEC and ESPN are in bed, and ESPN controls the college football playoffs. That's the reason it's happening. So can we stop with that? Let's just, like I said, let's sit down with some very smart people, go through the analytics, come up with a formula that says, okay, this is how we evaluate teams, okay? We look at everything. We look at who they played, how they played, what their numbers are. Are the people that were instrumental in getting them there playing, okay? Like maybe not having a head coach and those kind of things that plays into this whole thing. Or you lose your starting quarterback, which we heard a year ago, right? Those play into the equation. You sit down and say, okay, here are the top 12 teams in America. And I don't want to hear the politics of, well, Notre Dame's going to get in. No, they don't get in because they're Notre Dame. They get in because they deserve to be in there. And I think if we can stop playing the political game all the time and come down with objective analysis of who the top 12 teams are, and then put them in and stop playing, well, you know, the SEC's so good, we need to get four teams in, guaranteed. And no one's guaranteed. You want to guarantee it? Go win some damn football games. That's how you guarantee things. And that's what we need to get to. And right now, the politics are just, they're overwhelming this thing, and I think it damages it for all of us fans.
Well, and you brought up, you know, you bring up the playoff thing, too. I mean, how the optics of that you have a head coach coaching in it or not coaching in, on the Ole Miss side of things, Lane Kiffin. That story was absolutely crazy. I have weird feelings about Lane Kiffin, Mark. I really do. But I will say this: a lot of this story, a lot of it just has to kind of do with, to me at least, the system in place for. Because if I'm LSU, I don't want Lane Kiffin away from. I hired you. I'm paying you big money. I want you here now. If I'm Ole Miss, all right, you're saying farewell to us. I don't want you around either. But the fact that that's the system, it's like you have these college football playoffs play out. We don't see this in the pro sports level. I mean, it's just, it's outrageous to me.
You know, it changed the calendar. It's very simple. So I got a friend of mine who's involved in the college athletic world from a legal standpoint, and he said to me here a couple of weeks ago, he said, the college athletic system right now is just like the medical system. Everybody knows it's broke, but nobody wants to fix it because everyone's making money off of it. And that's what we're dealing with right now. This thing could be fixed. I saw just a retweet. You can go back and look at my timeline from yesterday. An athletic director put out a list of, he said, you know, here's some ideas. I thought his ideas were very, very good, right? About we do this and this. Change the calendar, okay? You can't be hiring coaches when this is going on, just like you can't do that in the National Football League, for goodness sakes. We keep wanting to inch closer to being professional, and we've got a league that's got a pretty good system out there that works really pretty darn well. But nobody wants to really kind of go, okay, well, let's kind of mirror what they're doing. We can set up the same kind of calendar, but we can say there's a free agency period, which is the transfer portal period. We can do that. We can have contracts. We can have collective bargaining. We can have all these kind of things. But nobody wants to do that, see, because we're all making a lot of money. And so don't change the system because that might affect the amount of money I'm making. And that's where the conflict is in this whole thing. And it drives me out of my mind because we are killing the golden goose. We've already, okay, we just killed the bull season, right? That just essentially came to an end this season, you know? And so we're going to continue to chip away at this thing. And then it'll be one of those deals on the back end. You know, we're going to be holding the dead goose, and everyone's going to go, how did this happen? I think we all know how it happened, you dummies.
Yeah.
Right? We've been watching this process. So there's a way through this, but nobody has the guts to do exactly what we need to do, because since the genie's out of the bottle, we got to go full bore anyway. So let's pull the Band-Aid. It's going to hurt, but let's get there, and let's get through the other side of this, because what we're doing right now is just, it is a slow-motion suicide, and it drives me crazy.
Well, and I saw Minnesota's head coach, P.J. Fleck. I thought he had some really interesting things, and a lot of coaches have said the same thing. It's just that's the most recent one.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's saying, hey, we're asked to kind of manage a football team without the restrictions that the NFL has. I mean, we're asked to give money, not the same, but, you know, comparatively, it's something similar. We're asked to do all this stuff without any restrictions. We go out and raise so and so many million dollars for this stud quarterback to come in. There's no guarantee he sticks around. I saw Troy Aikman's comments of, hey, I donated to a UCLA quarterback.
Yep.
And he transferred the next year. I didn't even get a thank you. That's the problem. Like, they're dealing with some of the stuff the NFL has to deal with, but the NFL can flat out say, we signed Billy Bob to a four-year contract. We don't have to worry about that position now for a bit.
Exactly right. And you know, every businessman, a businesswoman listening to your show that does business with KFKA would agree with me on this. Nobody in the world would ever do business the way we're doing business in college athletics. Right now, it's a one-way street. Everything benefits the student-athlete. We give them money. They don't have to prove anything. Then they can leave, keep the money, don't commit, go through with the commitment that they made. It's the dumbest system I've ever seen, right? Every smart businessman and businesswoman out there, okay, we're going to go into a business agreement. I've got my part of this. These are my responsibilities and things I need to take care of. These are the responsibilities you have. You have to live up to your side. I have to live up to my side. And then you move on and you go through the life of the contract. If you're going to break the contract, there are penalties, or there has to be renegotiated, or whatever it might be. But right now, it's just like, here, Billy Bob, you're pretty good at football. Boom, let me throw some money at you. That's the way this is working, and it's just, it's crazy. The fact that Kenny Dillingham, a couple of days ago, got on a press conference and begged, I mean, literally just, it was one of the saddest, most disgusting things I've ever seen. Stood there and begged somebody to come out and give him up.
I saw that. I mean
that is just, I mean, I don't know, where's our dignity? Where's our pride at this point in time? But that's what we're doing. I talk to coaches about it all the time because most of these coaches are out. They're not doing it publicly. I just thought it was just totally distasteful the way he publicly did that. I understand why he did it. I just don't think it's just something that a grown man should be doing. But they're all doing it to some degree, talking to their boosters and donors and saying, okay, here's where we're at. Here's what I need. Some are trying to do it with more dignity than others, but it's the same thing. I mean, it really is distasteful to me.
Yeah, I saw that too. I'm like, wow, this is where we're headed. We got coaches not coaching in their playoff games. We got coaches begging for money on their open press conferences kind of thing. We got former pros, you know, Troy Aikman guys saying, I'll never donate again because I, you know, got it for a rental, basically. It's wide open. It's wild, Mark. Hey, before I let you go, Sunday, I have to ask. I haven't asked in a while. Can a buffalo still beat a grizzly bear, Mark? You know, that's what's the mascot question here.
You know, that's a heck of a mascot matchup. Right,
that's
there.
A tough battle there. Yeah.
You know, I watch enough Yellowstone documentaries on kind of the wildlife up there that can be a heck of a battle right there. Yeah. Now, you know what you get into. Generally, though, grizzly bears are solitary creatures, and buffaloes, of course, are herd creatures. And so, frequently, what you see, if you get in that situation, now if a grizzly can kind of somehow separate that buffalo, now you got some problems if you're a buff. But if he comes into the herd and he's trying to get in there, what happens is as soon as he attacks him, the rest of the herd comes in and just beats the snot out of the grizzly bear. And so, you know, it's all about circumstance and game plan. In this matchup right here. And I think considering that the entire roster is going to be there for the Buffs, I think you got to go with the Herd over the Seoul Grizzly Bear. Although, I don't know. You have the Northern Colorado Bears. Are they Grizzly Bears, or are they just Black Bears or Brown Bears, or what are they?
I want to say Grizzly Bear. You would think I would know that, but I just know that they're bears. They could be any kind of bear. It could be a Pooh Bear, for all I'm concerned. For all I know.
I don't think it's
a Pooh Bear. Yeah. Haven't seen any honey. But we need to get some like nature music underneath. This is better than watching Animal Planet for 3 hours. Right. Just listening to Mark break down these. We learn a lot just from these breakdowns right here.
Well, I'm glad I could educate you, Robbie.
Mark, hey, man, I want to say Merry Christmas to you and your wonderful family, and Happy New Year, my friend.
All right. So, are we going to see you next Sunday in Boulder?
Maybe.
That's a no. All you out there, I want you to know what Brady just said, that was absolutely a no.
It's a no, because, you know, well, Mark, you know, Buffs fans, they're still kind of weird with me, man. I would have to sit next to you for protection.
You know what? I'll be doing TV on that game for ESPN, so you come over and just sit next to me, and everyone's like, Mark seems to like him, so maybe he's okay.
I'm just the random guy that's just sitting next to you and nodding, and they're like, who is that guy? Doesn't matter. He's here with Mark, and that's all that we need to know.
Merry Christmas to you, and Happy New Year's to you as well, and I look forward to chatting with you on the other side.
All right, my man. Sounds good. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Whoa, Kenny Swami says, I want Mark on the Wildlife Channel. He makes a good point. A grizzly taking on a bison. I didn't do that to Mark. I didn't want to embarrass him. Grizzly's winning that battle, but bison travel in herds, Mike. So that's a tough out. It's a tough out.
Yeah, bears do have dens. They do have friends around, but I'm going to agree. The buffalo will win.
But then again, isn't this hibernation period? So
it is.
If a bison catches a bear in a deep sleep and wakes it up, they don't have a lot of the nutrients that they need. They're tired. This could be the opportunity to get them on December 28th.
Now, maybe the bear does really desperately need some nutrients and is going to take a bite of that bison. But also keep in mind, bison aren't as protective of their kids as bears are.
But see,
there's a reason why someone says mama bear.
When bears come out of hibernation, the first thing they do is not go for a big hunt. They have to forage. They're getting berries. They're getting small things. They're getting fish because they got to get the energy up before they can take something big down. So this is a tough time to catch them. 44 minutes after the hour. Yeah, you're welcome. You didn't know that. Now you do. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.